I know I've shared this before, but I put my sermon schedule together usually months in advance so Julie that can take it and prayerfully put the music together, and so the sermon kind of gels with the spirit of the music and all that. And you know, I will confess that months ago when I put the schedule together for this week, I just jotted the title because I knew I like doing testimonials, and sometimes I think we should do it more often, but I get into the grind of, you know, Sunday morning, and I don't always fit that in. And so I simply jotted down the title and just said, you know, it's great. And so unlike many weeks where I kind of know, I've done my research, so I know what I'm going to preach on. So this week, I came to the table, and all I had was this title. So on Tuesday, I figured out, you know, okay, what am I going to share with them today? And so I do, you know, and I have to tell you, I love it when God gives me a sermon on a silver platter. And there are times when it just comes so easy, and that was one of those times. Other times you have to fight a sermon, or really they don't come together, but this week was so easy. And so I started by simply Googling verses of thanks. And the very first verse from the New Testament that came up was 2 Corinthians 4:15. And it was totally a God thing, and I'm going to explain that as we get into it. But we're going to start by reading 2 Corinthians 4 together. So if you turn with me to 9:39. We'll read this together. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We've renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word by the open statement of the truth. We commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is to the God who said, "Let the light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have treasures in clay jars, so that it might be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus Christ, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with the Scripture, I believe and so I spoke, we also believe and so we speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus Christ will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So, verse 15, what struck me, and I want just to look at that and put that up there again. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So what was last week's sermon on? Grace, right? And so here the first verse I come across combines this concept of grace and thanksgiving. Coincidence? I think not. I mean, this almost is an extension of last week's sermon, and it was not planned by me at all, right? And so we look at this verse and just let the truth of it sink. As grace extends to more and more people, increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. And so the more grace that is out there, the more grace that is shared, so it extends to more and more people. That talks to two different things. Number one, obviously it's just a numbers game, so it's extending to more and more people. But also, the more we extend grace, the more we recognize and we understand our desperate need for it. I mean, again, nobody here is going to sit there and say, "I'm not in need of grace this morning." If you've been raised in the faith, your recognition of that fact, we are all in desperate. And so when we see this, right, so we're extending it to other people, we're also recognizing that we need it more and more, then that turns and increases that we become more and more thankful for God's grace. We become more and more thankful for all that God has done for us, which ultimately, and this verse shows it, ultimately it brings more and more glory to God, and that's what we were created for. So we see this idea of this becoming a place of grace. It really ups the ante, doesn't it? You know, you thought I hit you hard last week with that idea that we as a congregation and we as Christians need to be purveyors of grace and all that stuff. Well, then, again, so we become more thankful, and thanks leads to bringing God the glory. So as I looked through that entire verse, there was just four quick things, and I knew that testimonials were going to take some time, so I purposely kind of made this a little shorter sermon. But I just want to show you four things that within this chapter I think that point to things that we need to be thankful for, but I don't always think we think about it. And again, it's so cool to listen to those testimonials and how much, you know, the family that we talk about here and how life together and all that stuff. And I just want to point out two things. And I didn't prime the pump. Those people just are sharing. You know, if you're a newer person or you're just starting to come in here, that really is who God has created us to be. And so if you don't feel that well connected here, I'm going to encourage you to keep investing yourself, because that kind of relationship is here and available for you if you want it. And, you know, the other thing is, and again, that's an answer to prayer. The fact that God continues to show us how much we need each other and how much we need those relationships, that's a God thing, because I can tell you the church I walked into almost 19 years ago, that was not part of our DNA. I mean, yeah, we did church together, but God has done something here. So it is by his grace. It is by his goodness. And so if you are looking for a place that you can be loved well and encouraged in the faith, and you're looking for a bunch of interesting folk to do life with, this might be the church for you. And I say interesting in the best sense of the word, all right? So four things in 2 Corinthians 4 that I think we need to be thankful for. First verse: therefore, since it's by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose hope. We need to be thankful that God invites us into ministry, right? And you might be sitting there going, well, Pastor Todd, that's easy for you because, you know, you're the pastor and your life is ministry. But I dare say that the Bible, I think, is pretty clear that if you are a Christ follower, then you have a ministry. You have a ministry. And we're supposed to be thankful for it. Again, because here's the thing. God doesn't need us to do anything for him. God can do whatever he wants to do. So what does that translate, right? He allows us to be involved in ministry for what we can get, right? How we are transformed, how we are grown. I mean, 2 tons of food, a fantastic thing. You know, for a church our size, it warms Beth and my heart, even though loading that van and unloading it caused some physical pain. But besides that, I mean, we look at that, but you feel good, and it's not because ultimately we're feeding people that need it. I mean, that's a nature of it. But when we obey, when we step up, and God blesses, not because he has to, right? And that's not even our motivation, as we just simply worship him. So we have to be thankful for the ministry that we are engaged in, not just here, but that day to day. When you're walking out in this community, God blesses you with opportunities to engage, to point people to Jesus, and to advance the kingdom. We can't take those for granted. We need to be thankful for them. And not only that, we can be thankful that he empowers us for ministry. Look at verse 7. But we have this treasures in jar and clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. Okay? You are a clay jar. And what does this verse tell you? You have a treasure. Some important facts here, right? Number one, you have an extraordinary power within you. Now let's confess, we don't always feel that way, right? But if the God, Almighty God, decided to reside in you through the power of the Holy Spirit, then you have an extraordinary power within you. And it's not for your purpose, it's for his purpose, right? And even within this verse, we see this. You know what? Paul's saying it doesn't come from us. There's not a pride thing, right? Again, you've done nothing to deserve it. It's by God's grace that he's allowed you to find your way to the cross, accept what Christ has done, and to be able to weekly and daily live this out. It's not a pride thing. But what it does do is it should help us be bold and intentional for the kingdom. You have an extraordinary power within you so that you can engage in the ministry of God and make a difference for Him. We need to be thankful for that. Again, God doesn't just call us and say, hey, I got this job for you, and goes, good luck, right? I hope to see you in heaven and I can pat you on the back because you got the job done. And we feel that way, right? I mean, how many times have your pastor said you need to be engaging people, you need to be inviting people to church, you are to walk daily as a follower of Jesus Christ, taking every one of those opportunities? How often do you feel inadequate for that? That's not a message from here, and it's not a message from here. If you are feeling inadequate to what God is calling you to, A, it's a lie from Satan. Period. My book says you have an extraordinary power within you. So don't let yourself off the hook. And again, I think God sometimes allows, you know, I hear this, well, God won't put you in a situation you can't handle. I think that's bunk. I don't think that's true at all. Because I think He allows us to. Why? Because we get to the point where we're so desperate for Him, then we'll seek Him. Why? Because what's the best thing that you can do on this planet? Find your way to God. And it might be your own consequences, it might be your own stupidity, it might be whatever that is that allowed you to get in that circumstance. So if you ever hear somebody that says, well, God won't put you in a circumstance you can't handle, call Him on it. Say, God might be seeking you in this. God might be giving you an opportunity to realize your need for Him. So you have this extraordinary power, right? But this chapter, I don't think, just merely gives us these positive things to be thankful for. It reminds us that we can be thankful even in the toughest situations. Look at verse 8 through 10. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying the body and the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be visible in our bodies. So what can we be thankful for? Look, no matter how dark it might get, no matter how tough the situation you might find yourself in, that situation is not your final truth. No matter how rough it can get, something bigger is always at play. No matter what, God is always in control. He is always on His throne. He can use the darkest times for His honor and glory and for our growth. And look at the bonus. Look at the last phrase of that. So that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. Here's the thing. I think our hard times is when we're sometimes the strongest witnesses for Him. Because here's the thing. Have you ever heard, you know, maybe they're a Christian brother and sister, and it just, I mean, it's like the sun is just shining on them. God has blessed them in so many ways, and on the outside you look, and man, they have everything. I mean, even the world looks at them, and they are amazed. And it's like, yeah, Lord, if you were blessing me with like that, I could follow you way easily. I mean, it's a no-brainer. If someone's got all their stuff, but I will tell you, you take someone, and the world has beat them and kicked them in the teeth, whether it's an illness or whatever, and they can still stand and praise Jesus Christ and point to Him, that's when the world steps up and goes, now, wait a minute. Because it doesn't make sense to them. And we have those stories that we carry with us. We know those individuals that, man, we wouldn't wish what they have gone through on anybody, and yet there they still stand, and they are proclaiming Jesus Christ and worshiping Him. That is what the world sees and goes, there is something different about that individual. And so when the hard times come, who do you think they're going to look to? I'm going to look to that person that I have no idea how they walked through that and still seem like a joyous, peaceful person. That the life of Jesus may be made visible in our bodies. We need to be thankful that even though when times get hard, God is still at work and can use that not only to grow us, but also to show other people about Him. And finally, and even though I think it seems probably dark from the world's perspective, we can be thankful that this world is not our final destination. Look at verses 16 and 17. So do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. We are reminded daily that these bodies are not made to last, right? Man, you get up and, oh, this hurts, and it just, the body doesn't work the way, and the hair starts leaving this and starts growing in places that it has no reason to be growing, and you just, you're wondering, and you're like, oh my, yeah, you're laughing because you know, all right? I'm not in that boat alone, all right? But we just, and again, in this world just seems, man, it seems like everything, and yet our truth is, and I love how Paul puts it, our inner nature is being renewed day by day, and even though we have those struggles and everything, that is a huge praise that, you know what, this body, God's going to give me a new one, but he's still working on this one. I am a vastly different person today than I was 10 years ago. You know, we ran into Dave at breakfast because John totally... I'll just leave that, all right? So Beth and I won't totally throw you under the bus. Beth and I, on Tuesday mornings, we go to Liz's and we have a little date breakfast. And so Dave was there, right? And he made some comment how I'm much more kind and gentler now than I used to be, right? And he was kind of saying it in jest, but I think he was right. The young man that walked into this place at 29 is vastly different than the 47-year-old man that stands before you, because God has worked into my heart. He's transformed me. He's allowed me to change. And I think all of us, I mean, we walk day to day in the faith, and we just allow God to do his things for us, and we are being renewed and transformed. And I love that last sentence. And again, I don't know where you are this morning, but maybe this is the nugget you needed to hear. The slight momentary affliction, that might be your situation today, or that might just be life. And yet, what does it say? It's preparing you for glory beyond measure. No matter the struggle you've had, no matter the junk you're in, or whatever this life, whether you accomplish the things that you dream or not, at the end of the day, when we pursue Jesus Christ, when we get to the other side, and we see the glory of God, and we see Jesus Christ welcoming us home, it is going to be beyond all of the pain and suffering of this world will instantly be melted away, and we will understand in that process the goodness of what God did in our lives. That is something to be thankful for. We are blessed beyond measure, and I think, you know, this week I'm glad that we have this holiday that forces us to do that, but you know, even within our testimonials, we're thankful for family and all those things. We need to be thankful for these things as well, right? That God, you know, God's grace leads us to thanksgiving. That even in our struggles and our dark times, God is still there and he can use that. That this world is not our home, and as rough as it gets compared to the eternity of glory with him, it gives us that perspective. So this week when we gather and we're thinking about being thankful, I would just remind you that God's grace leads to thanksgiving, and we need to be regularly seeking for the increase of both in our lives. Please pray with me. Our gracious Heavenly Father God, we are, and I can say we're thankful for you, and it seems hollow, it seems like it's not enough, and yet in our broken humanity, we just share our hearts with you, and when we slow down and we think about your word, we are blown away by your amazing love and goodness and mercy and grace and all that you do for us, Lord. So for just this week, I would just ask that, remind us throughout the week that idea that more grace brings more thanksgiving and brings more glory to you. Lord, help us to be purveyors of grace. Give us those opportunities to love on people and point people to you, because we're going to trust that in that process, your Holy Spirit's going to show up and we're going to see you move. Lord, we thank you and praise you for all the things that you do in this place. We thank you and praise you for the relationships here. And we just ask that you continue to bless us. You continue to use us. And we ask this all in your powerful name. Amen.